This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 31, Gaming Our Audience.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is Phaedra Boynodiris, and I'm here with my dear friend and colleague, Michael Rowe. And we're here to give you a fantastic lineup of topics around games at work and within the world of business. This is the GamesAtWork.biz podcast, and we are super excited to be here with you today.
Hey, Phaedra. Thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Now, the interesting thing is we've now disproved a rumor.
We have.
Yeah, you and I are not the same person. Because no. Over the last, two, 3 months or something, it seems like, you and I were trading off doing podcasts with Michael Martin because, our schedules have just been so insane. And this week, I was so excited because we were all three lined up, everything was confirmed, and at the last minute, our other co-host, good friend, sitting there in the frozen tundras of Hungary, could not make the show. So it's just the two of us. So maybe one of us is just talking to ourselves in two different voices.
It could be. This could very well be. Except how would you do the laugh and
And talking over each other?
See? Yeah. So,
well,
no.
That's editing.
It's a mystery.
I'm so excited for this week's show. We got some really, really cool topics. It is the holiday time of year, right?
Yes, last I checked. Yep.
Last I checked too. Now, the good thing is, one of the great things about podcasting is that these recordings, these podcasts, will live in infamy. No, they will live forever on the internets, and people don't actually have to listen to them during the holidays, but that's what we want you to do. And the reason we want that to happen is because we saw a really cool link this week on an app called Brain Nook.
Yes. Indeed, we did. This is a portal for kids, teachers, and parents that, in essence, has a series of games teaching math and language arts to kids. And they've got a very interesting subscription model for how they want you to sign up. And I mean, of course, they're not the only ones within this market. Brain Pop has been making a lot of headway within the space, as well as others. But they've gotten some very good press recently. And I like, right there on their homepage, brainnook.com, they've got this month's leaderboard up, and they've got John Cox class listed within the U.S., 366,000 stars on the Hall of Fame. They've got a leaderboard up.
Holy moly!
Huh?
I said, holy moly, 364,000 stars.
Yes. So it will be interesting. The reason why I'm interested in this model for teaching kids, I remember my sister, when she was in elementary school, was always very bright. She and I would play chess, and design our own games, but she would always, come back with these terrible grades in math from her teacher. Ooh. And I remember my parents at the time went to go speak to her teacher and said, we just don't get it because on our computer, she's playing all kinds of math games well more advanced than what you're teaching within this class. So I think what was interesting was just the level of engagement. I think she was just bored. And I'm wondering, how bored are the kids in more traditional classes, teaching traditional things? So I don't know. I'm not saying it's the panacea and that it works for everybody, but I think it should be a tool in people's tool belts.
Well, the thing that I thought was really interesting about this article on this link that we're going to put in the show notes was that one of the things that the Brain Nook guys did was to look at, you know, very popular engaging kids social network type games like Club Penguin and say, they claim there's educational value here, but it's really a social space that's trying to sell you the next, block of ice for your igloo and not really focusing on the educational aspects. Mm-hmm. So how do you take the best of both worlds, the social, the gaming, and the educational, and put them together in a very compelling model that engages not just the students, but as you said, the classroom, right? The teachers are building these communities of their students and really, you know, putting it in a way that drives the social aspect, the competitive aspect. And, you know, I was thinking about they have these programs, and I don't even remember what they're called, but my high school where I went to in Georgia years ago, I was driving by it, you know, long after I graduated, and they had some award that was now a plaque on the side of the building, you know, a something-something school of excellence or whatever. And I don't even remember what the term was, but it was kind of neat. It was an award that said, hey, this school has done something special in educating their kids and driving it. And you can imagine, I mean, within 20 miles or less, there were three high schools. You can imagine a education-focused competition between the schools that is social and education-based. Well, that was interesting. that changes the dynamics, because we also had a very, very competitive sports rivalry between these schools. And, you know, I was in high school, you're caught up, you're excited going to the football games or whatever. But the things that I always found the most competitive and the most engaging and the most driving as a student to make me better were those competitions or those games where education was important. So whether that was debate, whether that was the literary society, yeah, I'm a geek. or, you know, in this case, actual social games where students can come together. And granted, Brain Nook is not targeted at high school. It's targeted at 1 through 5. But if you can create an engaging social experience that's driven around an educational aspect and actually focuses much more on education than just, you know, how many blocks of ice does it take to build your igloo and can you spend more penguin points?
Well, you know, there's a big philosophy in the world of education now that is being discussed called the flipped classroom. So flipped teaching, the idea that when you are in class, you get the one-on-one practice, the one-on-one doing, the one-on-one acting with your teachers, you know, with other students working and collaborating on teams, and that the lecture part isn't necessarily a lecture by your teacher as much as it is when you're at home, you can do self-paced learning, whether it's, you know, reading or watching videos and catching up on the new kind of content. So there's a lot of discussion about that, a lot of fantastic testimonials about how well this has been pulled off. One of the big concerns about this approach is that, you know, will all these kids within these classrooms have access to the internet at home so that they can reach, you know, these lectures and this new kind of content? So the games, I think, are a very compelling way, you know, if well designed, of course, that the content within them being certified, you know, by the county boards of education. But, you know, if well designed, this could be a fantastic medium to be able to teach.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a really good point. And I was listening to a story, and I can't remember where it was, so unfortunately I'm not going to be able to throw it in the show notes, but it was talking about the different learning styles and how different societies focus on different things. And one of the things, you know, when I did my master's, it was very team approached because it was a master's focused around business, and in business you do a lot of team activities, right? But there's a certain level of competency that's expected from all the individuals on the team. When you think about early education, repetition, learning things by rote in order to get to the point where you have the foundation in order to jump into the higher level concepts and understanding them. It'd be interesting to see what research was done or has been done to say how well do, you know, flipped classrooms or collaborative education spaces prepare people for later in life versus providing them with that foundation that's necessary in order to, you know, like I said, build on top of the concepts that drive innovative thinking.
Agreed.
So
there have been some great exercises, you know, when teaching kids how to be innovative and how to think out of the box. I think game design is a wonderful way to do it. If think about it, if you're being tasked to design a game that teaches content about cells, you know, like just basic information about cells, you truly have to become a master at the content. Right. Yep. And you've got to think about creative ways, metaphors to be able to explain how things work. So I think that games, I agree. But then, you know, we're biased.
We've got our show. No. Well, you know, one of the things that I find a lot of people become very creative during is when you have a nice glass of wine. That's called a segue. Michael and I have been dealing with various different wine apps. Michael was trying to learn. I think we talked about this on an earlier show, and if we did, I'll definitely make sure that we have the link for it in the show notes. He was trying to learn the appropriate wines in the Hungary area where he is now. You know, what's good wine, what's bad wine, etc. And there are some great wine apps out there. I use one called Blush. Which allows you to get suggestions on the type of wine you might need for, you know, what's the time of day. So, you know, it could be Ripple in the morning. No, just kidding. you know, what's the time of day? What's the meal? What's the event? How are you feeling? What's the spiciness of the food or what's the social setting? You know, all kinds of different variables, and then recommends local or nearby wines or appropriate wines based off of price points. It also allows you to take, and we talked about before on the show, a beer drinking app called Untappd, right? Which allows you to collect all the different beers that you drink and, you know, take pictures of them and rate them and tweet and all this other stuff. But Blush does a similar thing in that you can actually take and read the barcode off the bottle, and it'll give you information from, you know, the various wine rating magazines and organizations. It'll tell you about the vineyard. It'll tell you about, you know, the wine company itself. And so this week, I had gotten a link in my RSS feed about a new database, and we'll get this into a game soon, called Likely, LikeLII, which is a way to bend the booze to your whims, I think they called it.
The Pandora of wines, I think is what you had said.
Yeah. The Netflix of wines. Oh, so here's an idea. What would the Netflix of wines be like, right? Mm-hmm. Does it mean you just sit on your couch and wine keeps pouring in your mouth? Streams over the net?
This could be good.
It could be good to start with. I think it might be bad eventually.
What I like about this idea is I am completely clueless when it comes to wines. Most of the time, I mean, sometimes I'll remember, like, you know, I really like Pinot Noir, or, you know, red wines go with meat, or I don't know. I try to go with the flow and learn from people who know a lot more than I do. So an app like this, I would think, would be quite handy.
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, when my wife was getting one of her degrees, we went to a wine tasting event. One of the other students in the class was a former wine distributor. And, you know, you have all these recommendations, these things that you learn about wine over time, like, you know, red meat, red wine, white meat, white wine.
Oh.
Right? Okay. Makes sense. So,
yep.
So you have white wine and chicken or fish, unless you have like a really heavy, dark, meaty fish, like a salmon, you might pair with a very light red wine. But if you have a steak, you want a red wine. Right. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of the simple rules. And then you think, oh, if I spend $100 on this bottle of wine, it's got to be really good. And if I, you know, spend $5, it's cheap, crappy wine. Right. Those are kind of the rules of thumb. Mm-hmm. And when you think about a gaming system, rules of thumbs are the way that you learn new games. Right. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing a first person shooter, I know there's certain ways of playing that game, right? If I'm doing a simulation game, I know there's certain things I need to learn about the underlying model in order to improve my chance of learning the game and winning, right? The thing about wine is all that is crap. So we had this wine tasting party, and the host, she brought out all kinds of wines. You know, you have a little sip here, a little sip there. And then we would rate them and talk about them and then discover that, you know, that really good wine, well, that was a $5 bottle of wine. And that really bitter, nasty, wooky wine, that one was $75. The other myth that she helped break was, you know, the good thing about wine is you drink what you like with what you eat. The reason red and red go together for most people is because the heaviness of the meat will offset the heaviness of some of the red wines. But there are light red wines and there are heavy white wines, right? So it's what do you like and what do you eat and what do you like with it? So all those rules of thumbs go out the window.
You know, when I was in Latvia this past fall, they had two new wines, which I had never heard of. They had wine made of birch and then wine made of rhubarb. And I've never heard of anything like this before. Oh,
rhubarb wine.
Well, that was the reaction of the French and Italians who were there with me. They refused to even sip it. They were like, oh, no, 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 no.
Well, my thing is, growing up, I don't like rhubarb in any shape, form, or fashion. My mom used to make pies and try to sneak rhubarb into it. Right? You'd have like a strawberry and rhubarb pie, and I'd take one bite. Oh, my God, there's rhubarb in here. Right? But there's an interesting thing. I was listening to a story on NPR, gosh, probably a couple of years ago. And did you realize that every single state in the United States has wineries, local wineries?
Even
Alaska.
I guess so.
Huh. I mean, there's honey-based wine.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right, so there's all these different things. So the fact that they made birch wine, that actually makes sense. Rhubarb doesn't make any sense. but it's kind of interesting that when you're taking something that's been historically such an important part of society, wine, and you're trying to come up with new and unique flavors of it, it makes me think of gaming.
Mm.
Let's see if I can make this segue. I'm going to try.
I'm watching.
and that is, you know, sometimes the rules of a game are important, right? Well, the rules of a game are important to get you into the game and understanding how it's played. But you're familiar with role-playing games like the old Dungeons & Dragons and the various things that have happened since then, whether it's an MMO or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are certain rules in the world that are you know, programmatically fixed. But some of the most fun and exciting parts of playing those games is when you break the rules. Like Skyrim, right? Love Skyrim. Been playing it again now that I have a working machine again. And there is a group of people that are playing the game, and they're trying to play the entire game without killing anyone.
Interesting.
And the game is designed for you to kill people. You kill dragons. You join the Assassin's Guild and you kill people, right? You go in and you walk in a lair of giant spiders and you kill them so you can get to the treasure. And so there are people that have been playing this game with the mission of leveling their character and playing the game without killing anyone, which is just awesome. So take something that is structured, red wine with red meat, and figure out how to completely play that game differently and enjoy it for what it is. You know, it's your meal or it's your drink that you like or it's your game that you're playing. And I find that to be a really cool way to think of, you know, expanding the boundaries of various games. Just like, you know, going back to our brain nook, right, which looked at these traditional games, social games like Club Penguin and said, that's okay with those rules, but let's flip it a little bit and make it much more engaging and much more fun.
You know, it's interesting that you should be talking about this. When I was at the Serious Play Summit, there was a professor from the Rochester Institute of Technology, and he was basically saying what you were saying with in reference to how hard it is to use games to assess people. And the way he was describing it was, he was talking about a first-person shooter where the players, you know, were running around a particular kind of maze, but to actually beat the game and get out of the maze, they were pointing their massive grenade launchers at their feet to propel themselves over walls.
Yes, I've heard about this, so, right?
Yeah, and so he was making, like, you know, given that, how are you supposed to assess whether someone is doing well within a game to teach something in particular?
The Kobayashi Maru, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, so I think you make a good point that people who do bend the rules are really, you know, the creative thinkers. You know, they may not be, they're not following your rules as when you initially designed the game, but that's, I think we have to be smarter about assessment.
Yeah, I agree. And so, you know, how do you assess the impact or importance of a podcast?
Number of people
listening? Number of people listening, right? Or talking about it or chatting or the number of reviews and comments on the blog or on iTunes or whatever podcatcher you get. And so mm-hmm. I have a challenge to our listeners. I would like them to get a friend of theirs who doesn't listen to the show. I mean, go to someone who just hates podcasts. Make them listen to the show and do a review. Tweet it at us. Take and just completely change the game and the rules of how important or how good a podcast is by looking at it from a totally different lens. What do you think?
I think it sounds like a good plan. We want to hear from you.
Is it crazy? It's crazy talk. It's crazy talk. How dare you? You rate my podcast and you've never listened to it. I think it would be awesome. I think it would just be amazing to have people, you know, maybe go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/gamesatworkbiz and post on our timeline. Tell us, you know, what game are they playing? Maybe they don't listen to the podcast at all, but they play games, right? You know, is it Skyrim and they do crazy things like try to play the entire game without killing anybody? Are they, you know, playing what's your current favorite mobile app? Game mobile app?
Me right now?
Yeah. What are you playing?
Minesweeper.
You know, I am amazed by the new Minesweeper on Windows 8. Have you seen? Yeah?
So this is
interesting. So one of the things that really freaked me out when I upgraded my gaming rig to Windows 8, which I know people are like, why did you do that? Right? Well, because I'm crazy. What can I say? So I upgraded my gaming rig to Windows 8, and none of the Microsoft games were on the operating system. What?
Not one.
Now, I thought about that, and of course, I went to the Microsoft Store, and there they were. And they were free, and you could download them. And I was like, well, that's interesting. So the first game they played with me is they made me engage with the Windows Store. Right? And I actually downloaded the games. I downloaded my three favorite Windows, you know, time killer games: Minesweeper, Solitaire, and Mahjong. Right? So I pull them up, and they actually have, you know, tutorials at the beginning of Minesweeper. And I'm like, come on, it's Minesweeper. You click on the thing, you hit the bombs, or you click on, you get the numbers, and you figure out the math, and you go, up, done. But what they've also done is they put challenge modes in there, which is kind of okay. That's interesting. The other thing that they did is they actually have an adventure version.
Adventure version?
Yeah. And I... So back in the day, I had a TI-99/4A as one of my computers, and there was this dungeon adventure game in it, right? And you had these little guys that would go across the screen, you'd attack the dragon, it was kind of weak. But you also would find keys and open chests and that type of stuff. So what they've done with Minesweeper, of all apps, is they've done a dungeon map where you're digging through the dirt to get to coins or various torture devices that will kill you or take lives away. There are monsters in there that you have to find other devices like weapons when and attack them with. You have a pickaxe that you get to bust down certain walls, dynamite things to blow up certain areas. And it's basically Minesweeper, but they've turned it, you know, flipped it completely around and made it a maze puzzle game. And it's actually really cool.
Check that out.
Yeah, I'm enjoying Minesweeper again. So very,
I do need to check that out. I'm looking for some new mobile apps, new mobile games.
So I'm wondering if this version of Minesweeper is also on their Surface or on their Windows Phone stuff. So,
well, speaking of mobile apps, one of the things that I came across this week was the idea of social networks that were built around mobile. So specifically, imagine if you had a social network that was being dynamically built based on proximity to your mobile phone. So the more often you were around a certain group of people or individuals, the more importance they would have within your social network. Yeah. And of course, there would be these different algorithms, and you could go in and modify and say, forget it. No, absolutely not this person or that person or the other person. They're not friends of mine. They're stalkers or whatever you want to say. But I think that there's something compelling about that. I think there's been some pushback on Facebook lately in terms of the way that, you know, the way Facebook works. Well, what do you think about this business model for the proximity social network?
Well, it's actually interesting. So I know, you know, within IBM, they had a couple of different projects that are going on over the years. I think Small Blue was one of them that would actually analyze your social graph based on how you're sending emails or instant messaging or engaging with each other inside the enterprise, right? And so I think what you're describing makes a lot of sense to allow you as an individual to understand the realities of your social network and to actually, in big air quotes, see who you really are following, to put the stalker angle on it, or at least engaging with in reality, right? So I can imagine building heat maps of where am I spending most of my time and who am I spending most of my time with on a day-to-day, weekly basis. I think an important thing would be to not necessarily geofence, but to enable or disable some of the connections or tracking, right? So, for example, I may not want to see, you know, that I have my own personal network in my own house, because that might skew the results. Because, of course, I spend a lot of time, you know, with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I may also not want to see that I spend a lot of time in meetings with someone specifically at work. I think there are plenty of apps out there that'll tell me how much money I spend in meetings. Matter of fact, I wrote one. but the ability to understand the actual social dynamics and activities with the people I interact with, whether that's, you know, at night, I'm currently been auditioning for a show, and, you know, assuming I get into that show, which would be awesome, I will have a social network of people that, you know, 3-4 times a week I'm singing with, right? Versus what I do during the day versus meetups I go to around technology and stuff that I'm interested in. So being able to fence each of those networks to understand the dynamics within that network, and maybe having a meta network above all of them to show kind of my life pattern, would be very interesting.
Well, I like the idea of that dynamically built social network based on proximity, which of course is editable, but then bringing in the gaming component, and even, you know, to harken back to the whole online dating podcast that
that
did,
was
like,
a great podcast
a month or so ago.
I would have been so happy to be on it with you, but I wasn't there.
But there's all kinds of things you could do with that tech, you know, like you've got a mobile phone, you happen to be on an escalator, someone's going down in the other direction, and your mobile phone sends you, you know, some kind of a push notification saying, okay, that person who's like 5 feet away from you is a level 67 dungeon master in the same game you're playing. Or I don't know, I think that could be interesting.
So you've read Demon, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So enough said.
Enough said.
If you haven't read Demon by Daniel Suarez, go stop whatever you're doing right now. Just stop. Pick up the book. Read the book. And you will understand the power of that social network where you find out the person 3 feet away from you is a level 67 wizard.
Agreed.
Oh, man, that's an awesome book. I got my dad hooked on it. As a matter of fact, I got him hooked on Daniel Suarez in general. Awesome book. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me of that, because I'm actually shopping for some Christmas presents for some choice people. So maybe I'll get that. That's a good one.
That'll make him feel safe. Merry
nice
Christmas.
And cozy.
See that guy over there with the funky glasses? Merry Christmas. Well, I know we are up at time, and you know, I just wanna say to everybody, I like the idea. If you want to game our podcast some, see who of your friends you can convince to listen to it or rate it. You know, see of your friends who you can get to follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at games@work_biz, or over at our blog and comment at games@work.biz, or, you know, on Stitcher Radio, on iTunes, on the Blueberry Network, on Google Plus. I'm trying to think if I've missed any off the top of my head, probably, because, you know, or you can, you know, we've gotten a couple of flatters lately. If you haven't noticed on our website, we now have a flatter button, FLATTR. Just click on it. It shows that you would like to support the podcast. And flatter is actually kind of interesting. It's a social game, for lack of a better term, that allows you to do micro support for various things that you like out on the net. And each month, the makers of Flatter then divide up any funds that came in. You don't even have to put any funding into it. You can just say you like us and we're good. And they distribute that funding. And so far, we've gotten a couple of flatters. I was flattered by it.
We like flattering.
Yes. So you know, go out there, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your worst enemy. And let us know what you think on any of the social networks that we're on. We want to hear from you. And, you know, what are your questions? What are you thinking about on games and gaming at work and working with games? And I think that's enough. So Thank you very much, and we'll be talking with you all soon.
Bye. Lovely to talk to you again, Michael. And if you don't do another show before the holidays come, we wish everybody a happy holiday. Are we doing another show on Friday?
We hope to be doing another one next Friday.
Okay.
I have nothing blocking me.
Awesome.
He says, hoping that nothing blocks next week.
Well, thank you all for tuning in today, and have a lovely weekend.
Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.